Just one, the Gemara, and that's Zion on the base. So we saw yesterday the whole halacha of Eila Mishpatim and the various different drushes in the Gemara. Ve'ela Mishpatim asher sirtasim. So if you remember the last thing we said, that the Dayan has to come with Bezdin. The Dayan has to come to Bezdin with his equipment. What's his equipment? The shoe, the whip, the stick, etc., etc. And then the Gemara said, but nonetheless, he has to know to go easy with the stick, not to just be trigger happy. So we're up to the Gemara where it says, Shemoya ben Achichem. The first word, it's about 10 lines from the bottom. First word on the line is Makil. So the Gemara says, Shemoya ben Achichem. Remember, this is all the psukim. These are the psukim that are to be found in the beginning of Parshas Devarim, when Moshe Rabbeinu is recounting whatever went on in the Midbar. And he's talking about the whole change to the system there of the Dayanim that Yisra introduced. So many halachas are learned from those psukim, all to do with judges. So included in that is Shemoya ben Achichem v'shafatetem, literally meaning you should listen to your brothers and then judge them. Omer Rav Chanina, what does that mean? Azhara, this is a warning, lebezdin, sheloy yishma divrei baaldin, koidem sheyovei baaldin chaveiroi. A very important halacha. The bezdin are not allowed to listen to the claims of one of the two parties until the other one has been there in bezdin as well. Because once you've heard one side, as the expression goes, first impressions last, and without yet hearing the second side of the story, obviously there's always going to have to be one side that presents their case first, but at least they're going to have to both be there in Beis Din before you start. Says Rashi, towards the last Rashi of the narrow lines, Shemoya ben Achechem, says Rashi, Kesheyiu Shneem Yachad. It's only when both of them will be together. That's what we're learning from the Pasuk, Shemoya ben Achechem, that both of your brothers have to be there. So, Kashehiu Shneem Yachad, when both of them are there, present in the Beis Din, then Shimu Divrehem, then you can listen to what they have to say. Veloi Sishmu Divrei Zeh Beloi Zeh. But do not listen to one without the other. Shemesader Divrei Sheker Kedivrei Emes. If you have two people in front of you, and one of them makes a claim, and then the other one has a counterclaim, so that way you get a more fair impression of who's right, who's wrong. But if somebody comes to Bezdin and presents his case unchallenged, so even if it's absolutely sheker, but you wouldn't know it at the time because it's gone unchallenged, and that can make an impression. Were he only to be there in the Bezdin together with the rival party, then everything he would have said would have been challenged, and therefore I, the Dayan, would have received it very differently. Says Rashi, Lefi she'ein makchishon, there's nobody there to argue back. Umikiven she'leiv ha'dayon, because the heart of the Dayan, noite loy lezuchus, the heart of the Dayan is noite, is leaning now in one particular direction, right? Imagine if somebody comes to you and presents their case. So it sounds very plausible, and you believe him. Well, that's hardly fair, because you haven't heard what his friend has to say about the story, but his friend is not there, so it's gone unchallenged, and that makes an impression on you. As then, shuv, after that, it's very hard to change your mind. Shuv, ein liboy, mahapech bezchus hasheni, kolkach. After that, his heart is not now so keen to try and find the other party innocent. Why? Because you're fairly convinced already that the first party is innocent because you heard their taina. It went unchallenged. They were not both present at the Beis Din. So when he came to you and presented his claim very calmly, it sounded extremely plausible. And basically, you believe him. So you're unlikely now to make that switch in your mind. Well, no, actually, maybe the second person is innocent after all. First impressions last. First impressions last. And that's why you can only allow him to present his taina to the Beis Din if the other party are there, such that even if he makes a claim, but it can immediately be countered and challenged, and that way you get a much fairer impression of who's right and who's wrong.
If a partnership is two people are going to a Beis Din, doesn't Beis Din require before they show up some documentation of their story so they can be prepared?
Oh, one second. So we're going to see a lot of the technicalities now. But I'll call upon him. You cannot turn up in Beis Din, make your claim, fire and brimstone. It goes totally unchallenged. The dayan is basically fairly convinced. And after that, it's unlikely he's now going to see things differently. First impressions last. So that's one halacha that we learn from the word Shomoya Bein Acheichem. You've got to hear both of your brothers. Acheichem is Loshen Rabbim. Says the Gemara, another halacha. V'azhora, it's a very similar halacha. There's another warning, Lebal Din. Shelo Yatim Dvorov Ledayon. So too, now we're pointing not at the Dayon, but rather to the Baal Din. Baal Din means one of the two parties. You're not allowed to be Matim Dvorov. What is Matim Dvorov? Yatim, like from the word Ta'am, reasoning or taste. Don't now secretly present your case to the Dayon, Koidem Shiyovai Baal Din Chaveroi, before your other Baal Din has turned up. Meaning, it's the same halacha as before, but instead of pointing it at the Dayon, we're now pointing it at the Baal Din himself. Just like the Dayon should not be listening to one side of the story without the second fellow there. And if he does, he has contravened this halacha of Bein Acheichem. Says the Gemara, equally the onus is on the Baal Din himself as well. If the Baal Din finds an opportunity to present his case to the Dayon without the company of the second Baal Din, then he should not do so. So neither may the Dayon listen to it, nor may the Baal Din present it. So the Issa would take effect on both of them. Now, the question is, how can you possibly learn that from the Pasuk? The Pasuk says, Shomoya Bein Acheichem. How do you translate those words, Shomoya Bein Acheichem? Shomoya means listen. Bein Acheichem, to your brothers, plural. Well, who's doing the listening over here? That's the Dayon. So I understand the first halacha, that the Dayon is prohibited from hearing one side without the other. But how all of a sudden do we switch it and we say, well, so too, the Baal Din himself cannot present his case. But how can you learn that from the word Shomoya? Shomoya means listening, not speaking. So the Gemara says that could be learned as well. Why? Kori Bei Nami. Because you could read this possibly differently as well. Not Shomoya, but Shema Bein Acheichem. Meaning, if you translate it and you read it like that, it's not going on the listening, it's going on the talking. If you look at Rashi on the last narrow line, Shemad or Shema Dvorecho Bein Acheichem, present your words, let them be heard, only Bein Acheichem, meaning, Keshetiu Shneichem Yachad, Mashma. The implication being, only when two of you are together. Therefore, this word Shomoya, how can you have two droshes? The answer is because it really can be read in two ways. Shomoya can mean listen. Well, then it's clearly been presented to the Dayon. Or Shameya, which is make heard. Who is making heard? That's the Baal Din. And that way you learn these two halachas. So really, it's not two different halachas. It's the same halacha. But one is being pointed at the Dayon. One is being pointed at the Baal Din. The Issa is chal on both. The one who presents his case to the Dayon cannot say, well, it's not my Issa. It's perfectly within my rights. It's my prerogative to present my case alone. And if the Dayon listened to me, well, it's his problem. No, it's your problem as well. Because we have this double drasha, Shomoya, Shameya.
What about Lifnei Iver Atisitin Mechshol?
Yeah, that could be as well. But not
every Lashon Hara. The issue is to speak Lashon Hara, but you're causing the person who's listening to have an aver.
That's an additional Issa. Here we're saying we don't need the additional Issa. It's Issa inherently. Says the Gemara, Rav Kahana Omar Mehocha. Rav Kahana says, I agree to your halacha, but I learn it from a different source. Miloi sisa. Loi sisa means, can be read, loi sashi. What does loi sisa mean? So look at Rashi on the first wide line. Loi sisa literally means do not bear it. It's talking about listening. Loi sekabel shema shav. That's an azhara la dayon. Essentially, that's a warning for a dayon. But once again, the word loi sisa could be read loi sisa. Bakori beinami loi sashi. Do not cause to be heard, which is therefore an azhara la baldin. So it's very similar to before. There is a prohibition both on the dayon and also on the baldin. Do not present your case if it's not in the presence of the second party, because otherwise you're going to influence the dayon. And once he's influenced and he sees the case in a particular way, it's hard after that for them to change his mind. Says the Gemara, now another halacha. Ushvatetem tzedek. This is a different pasuk. Ushvatetem tzedek, and judge righteously. Now, what does that mean, judge righteously? Ushvatetem tzedek. Omar Reish Lakish, tzedek es hadin, v'achar kach chotcheihu. This is similar to what we said yesterday. I'm not sure exactly what the chiddush is. But tzadik es hadin, treat the case righteously, and only then chotcheihu, then you can offer us issue a clear-cut psak. This is similar to what we said yesterday. Don't offer a clear-cut psak until there's been tzedek. Tzedek means righteousness. Until you feel that you've absolutely heard the two cases and the two sides fairly, following which you can then give your psak. Bein ish. Ubein Ochiv. This is now a continuation of that pasuk in Devarim. What is it coming to teach us? Bein Ish Ubein Ochiv, literally translated between man and his friend. Omer Rav Yehuda, Afilu Bein Bais La'aliyah Ubein Garoy. Omer Rav Yehuda, afilu bein tanur lekirayim. What does that mean? Let's look at Rashi. Bein ish ubein ochiv. Shenofla lohem. What does it mean, him and his brother? What would be a classic case of when there's a dispute between somebody and his brother? And the obvious answer is in the case of inheritance. If a house fell to them as an inheritance, and there's machlokes now, how exactly are we going to split up the house? Al toima, this is now addressing the dayon. Do not say toil ato bayis. Do not turn around and say to one of them, fine, you'll take the home, the house. Va'achicha aliyah, and your brother will take the attic. Bayis and aliyah means a house and an attic. It's essentially a home with two homes. So what's the dayan being told? Don't merely say, listen, I see a house over here. It's basically got two places of residency, either the home or upstairs in the attic. So listen, you take one and the other one takes the other and finished. No. Al toima, do not say toil ato bayis v'ochicha olio umabakach. Don't say, listen, you, one brother, take the house. The other brother should take the aliyah umabakach. And what more do you need? Hare l'chol echod yesh loy dira. At least each one has got a dira. Quote, unquote. So what more would you want? No. Elo ha'ale oison bedomim. You've got to consider the value of the two, the hishve chalukoson, and you've got to be equal in the way you split it up, alide moyois, according to how much it's worth financially. So it's true, technically, you can live in the main house or you can live in the attic. But that's not called a fair split, because the home invariably will be more expensive than the aliyah, and therefore you've got to split it up financially, not just practically. And that's what we learn from the pasuk of Bein Adam L'Chaveiroi. It's got to be absolute tzedek Bein Adam L'Chaveiroi. Don't just chop it up into two, right? You take the bais, you take the aliyah, v'shalom al Yisrael. No, you have to have it evaluated, and you then split it up according to its financial gain worth. Bein Garoid, there's also a quote from our Gemara. Loshen Mogur. Mogur means to live, like Vayogur. Tashmishe Dira. Those things that you need to use in your place of abode. What would be an example? Al Toimar. Again, do not say, listen, Yitoil ze Tanur. One of you take the oven, one takes the stove. It's basically all much of a muchness. It's all pretty much all very similar. No, you can't do that. Why not? Sheharei tanur oidef al hakiro. Because a tanur, an oven, is worth more than the kiro. So this is similar to the bais and the aliyah. In the same way as you can't just say to one of them, fine, you take the bias, the other one takes the aliyah, and that's that. No, you've got to work it out financially and split it accordingly. So too with a tanur and a kiraim, it's true that they have similar uses. They're both implements which you use for heating up food. But that's not good enough to say, well, okay, there's a Yerusha over here. There's a tanur and there's a kiraim. There's an oven and a stove. So one takes the oven, one takes the stove, and that will be that. No, that's not called a fair split. Because the tanur is worth more than the kiraim. So if the tanur is worth $1,000 and the kiraim is worth $500, so it's totally unfair to say, fine, one takes the tanur, one takes the kiraim. No, but then he's got $1,000 as opposed to 500. So you have to evaluate it. You get to a total fee of $1,500, and you've got to split it up in a way where 750 goes to both. So either you sell them, and you give 750 cash to each, or you give one the tanur or one the kiraim, but then whoever gets the tanur has to pay the other one $250. But either way, it's got to be a fair split financially and not just practically. That's what we learn from this pasuk.
So this really is practically applicable today, like when they split up real estate and one building is producing $100,000 a year, the other building is producing $200,000 a year. You can't just say, and the father owned both buildings, you can't just say, okay, one brother take one building, but no, my building only produces 100,000, his building produces
Yeah,
200,000.
100%. Says the Gemara, Loi sakiru ponim b'mishpat, quote unquote. Again, all psukim there, but they're discussing different halachas for dayonim. So what does it mean, Loi sakiru ponim b'mishpat? They're literally translated, do not show favor, do not show your face b'mishpat. So l'chayre, it means do not be biased towards one party over and above the other. Says the Gemara, what do we learn from this pasuk? Rabbi Yehuda, sakirehu. Do not favor him, says Rashi, imhu, if it's somebody who is a friend of yours, somebody you love, you've got to treat him totally with equality, which, by the way, might well disqualify the dayan. The dayan knows that the person who comes to his bezdin is a very good friend of his, then he's disqualified. I recently had a case, somebody in our kehillah had a big financial dispute with a partner of his, and they came to me and I said, I'm sorry, I'm disqualified. Because one of them daven's in our kehillah, I know him very well, he happens to be my upstairs neighbor as well, whereas the other person is somebody I don't know, and I feel disqualified from being involved because I would probably naturally have a bias towards the one who daven's in our kehillah is a neighbor. And that's what it's saying over here. Loi sakirehu. Another drasha. Rebbe Loza Oimer, loi simkarehu. The root of the word loi simkarehu is what? From the word nochri. The word nochri, as we know, is like a stranger, for example. Don't make him a stranger. Why would you want to make him a stranger? What would be the case? So there, Rashi says, it's the opposite. It's when he, in fact, is not a friend of yours. To the contrary, he's an arch enemy. Look at Rashi. Says Rashi, Loi sinkarehu, do not make him sinkarehu, as in a nochri. Meaning, he's not my friend. Well, so that's it. I don't want to look at him. That's called making him a nochri. Says Rashi, Loi sinkarehu, meaning, imhu. If in fact he is your enemy. So now it's the other way around. Before we said that what? If he's somebody who is somebody that you love, and therefore you think you're biased that way, well, then indeed you are disqualified. But now we're saying the opposite. That if you're somebody you hate, loy sase loy kenochri. Do not make him like a nochri. What does it mean, like a nochri? Do not make him like a total stranger, lechayvoy, in order to consider him guilty. So in other words, basically we're being told that this works in two directions. Neither, if you have somebody that loves you, can you try and tip the din in his favor? Or don't make him into a nochri, don't make him into a foreigner, into a stranger, and say, well, he's my enemy, I don't know him, I don't want to help him. No, everybody's got to be judged on their merit. Says the Gemara. Ushpizichne derav. Ushpazichnea means, I think it means like a guest, a visitor. A visitor of Rav. Rav had a guest, used to stay with him. Osa lekame ledina. And he once came to him for a din. Omar le, Omar lo, he said to him, one moment. Lav ushpazichneat.
He was a host of Rav.
He was a host of Rav. So Rav has a koras hatov to him. So he turns up in Rav's Bezdin and says, well, I need your help. Could you pass in a certain shayla? He says, one moment. Weren't you once my host? And therefore what? Says Rashi. Look at Rashi. Omaleahu gavra l'rav. V'lav ush v'zinchad klima einat ozochor. Don't you remember that you were my host, that I was your host? Don't you remember she'asisi imcha chesed? I recognize you. You were my guest. I was your host. Don't you remember how much chesed I did for you? In other words, he's trying to get into his good books and say, well, I did a chesed for you, so please could you respond? Omar le in, so Rav said, yes. I do remember. I do remember. So what's the shayla? Omar le. Omar le dina isli. So he said, well, I have a din. I have a din, and I'd like you please to adjudicate. Omar le. So he said to him, well, I'm sorry to tell you, posilna, I have just become posil from judging your case. Posilna lecha le dina. Why am I posil? So look at the top Rashi. Shehizkartani toivoscho, because you just reminded me of your chesed. So beginning by when the very fact that you began and you said, don't you remember how much chesed I did to you? Well, I'm afraid you just now made me disqualified from paskening because I've obviously got automatic negias. Says the Gemara, Omar le Rav, Lerav Kahana. So Rav turned round. He said, fine, I've now become disqualified from judging. So he said to Rav Kahana, do me a favor. Hook, Daine, I want you to now go and judge the case. You judge it. I can't paskin. Problem was, Chazye dahavako goyis bay. Rav Kahana saw that this person was too, as it were, over-friendly and reliant on Rav. Remember, he had turned up in Rav's Beis Din. Why did he turn up in Rav's Beis Din? Because he was hoping to convince Rav, don't you remember how much chesed I did for you? And therefore, obviously, you'll try and tip it in my favor. Well, it didn't quite work because Rav said, I'm sorry. You've just killed it off because by virtue of the fact that you just reminded me of the chesed, I've become disqualified. That's why he turned around to Rav Kahana. But Rav Kahana noticed, look at Rashi, top line. Chazir Rav Kahana lahu gavra. Rav Kahana saw that this person have a goyis babe, Rav. Soimech uboiteach olav. He was still being over-reliant on Rav. Umadaber gvoihois, and he was speaking rather haughtily. Well, yes, my good friend Rav, he was my guest. In other words, he was still clearly banking on Rav, hoping to influence the din in his favor. Omar Lei, Sir of Kahana was having nothing of it, and he said, "E tzaisa, tzaisa. If you listen to me, then you listen to me. In other words, stop this whole Rav business. You try to rope Rav into paskin your din, and by doing so, you actually succeeded only in disqualifying. But I see that you haven't given up. And even though Rav clearly felt disqualified and turned to me and said, right, could you please take this over? I see you still schlepping in Rav and mentioning Rav and being overconfident. Well, don't forget everybody, I'm Rav's host. So Rav Kahana said, listen, Rav is out the picture. You have to listen to me. And if you're going to listen, then that's fine. And if not, the Eloi, Mafkina lecho Rav mei oincho, says Rashi. Mafkina le Rav mei oincho. I will remove Rav from your mind. Oidiacho. I will tell you quite clearly. She'ein Rav yochoil lesayoch. Rav cannot help you. D'mshamtino loch. The mashmatina loch. Not sure what those words mean. But either way, what he was telling was, shamtina normally means a loshon of a nidui, putting him in excommunication.
Is this what's got in the answer?
So how do they explain? In other words, if you feel that you can still rope in Rav, then what will I do to you? Rabbi Yosef, how do they explain that?
It's by excommunicating you. I will remove Rav from your strength by excommunicating you.
Right. So therefore, you will no longer be able to rope in Rav. So he gave him an ultimatum. Either you forget Rav, and you turn to me for my judgment, and I'm very happy to paskin the case, but then you have to listen and you have to obey my authority. And if not, you're going to be excommunicated, and that'll be that. So you don't have much of a choice. So I guess you can choose every color you like, as long as it's black, as they say. So those are not very many options on the table.
It reminds me
of the story of the great Kovnerov. The great Kovnerov was the god Ladur in Europe, Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan Spector. There was a certain case in which a husband had been mistreating his wife, and the Beis Din wanted to enforce a divorce. They said he has to divorce his wife. And yet the husband, an obnoxious gentleman, refused to divorce his wife. Well, if you refuse to divorce his wife, then the wife is stuck. So Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan was having none of it, and he called in this man and said, I just want to tell you one thing. It says in the very opening Mishnah in Kiddushin, that when one marries, there are two ways that she becomes freed of her husband, either by divorce or by death of the husband. So he said to him, you can choose.
Is a Dayan allowed to try more than one case with the same complainant? Because if you've heard who this guy was in a prior thing, you might have a prior opinion, because now a guy comes, huh?
Good question. I don't know the answer yet. Maybe we'll see that later on. I don't know. It's a good question. But I'll call upon him. This is what Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan said. Your wife will be released. Either you divorce her, or you're going to have to go for the other option. So you can choose. So you see that on occasion, a dayan has to really flex his muscles, as it were. And this is what's happening over here as well. Either you forget about Rav, or you're going to be put into Cheirim. Okay.
I heard that story about Rabbi Akiva Eger.
Yeah.
And the husband started cursing out Rabbi. He refused to give a get, stomped out, and then he came outside and he collapsed and died. So
they tell a story of Rabbi Akiva Eger. There was somebody, an old man, miserly fellow who passed away, and his children came to Rabbi Akiva Eger to complain. And he said, it's a chutzpah. We've gone to the Chevra Kadisha to buy a plot of land, and we want to charge some ridiculously high fee, an exorbitant fee, much, much more than the
normal.
I don't know what's going on. So Rabbi Akiva Eger said, it's a very fair price. He said, every other plot of land, the kever, is a short-term rental. Bezat Hashem, Mashiach will come soon. There'll be Tchir Samesim. But your father used to lend money with interest. And Chazal say, whoever lends money beribis does not get up at Tchir Samesim. Therefore, this plot of land is not a short-term rental. It's a long-term sale.
Great story.
Okay, everyone should have a wonderful day. Everyone should feel...